our lives, and possibly saved our lives.
This is PK Subban of the Nashville Predators.
This is Philip Forsberg of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Now, broadcasting live from high atop the WNSR Broadcasting Tower. And against all better judgment, it's time for Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all skate around the NHL with all the news and updates you need.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
And now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier.
It's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, it's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. It's a game day in Smashville. It's a rainy Saturday morning, and you don't need that extra cup of coffee because we are right here in the trench with each and every one of you Renegades getting ready for an outstanding day and what's going to be an outstanding afternoon of hockey here in Nashville. The Nashville Predators currently, after 63 games played, 36-22-5, have 77 points and are 1 point behind the Winnipeg Jets, who won last night. So the back and forth continues as we move into the final stretch of the hockey season. Today, the Preds will host the Colorado Avalanche. Avalanche have played 61 games. They are 26-24-11. They have 63 points. They have fallen all the way down to next to last in the Central Division after, early in the season, competing for the top spot. In the last couple of games, the Colorado Avalanche have begun to right the ship, and now on the road are 14-12-6, and they have won three games in a row. Looking at those games, it was on the 18th, a 3-0 win versus Vegas, then a 7-1 win on the 20th versus Winnipeg, and then a 5-3 win at Chicago just last night. Of course, quick turnaround afternoon game at Bridgestone Arena, so the Nashville Predators should have the Colorado Avalanche exactly where they want them. The Nashville Predators are 20-11-1 on home ice this year, and they have a goal differential of plus 29. That is the best in the Central Division, and the Preds have won two games in a row in the middle of a three-game tune-up homestand before some very intense and significant divisional competition coming up here next week. The Nashville Predators, after tonight's game, will take on Edmonton Monday to close out this three-games homestand, then on Tuesday in St. Louis, Friday in Winnipeg, and then on the 3rd and the 5th of March, a home-and-home with the Minnesota Wild. NHL ranks for the Nashville Predators power play. We have movement. They are 30th now in the NHL. That is next to last. That is the first time we have had some positive movement in this number in a couple of weeks. The penalty kill is 10th. Goals for the 13th in the NHL at 3.05. Goals against, they are 3rd at 2.59. Craig Smith currently on injured reserve. We learned that just the other day. Mika Salamaki continues to be on injured reserve. The season series between these two teams, it was the 7th of November when the Preds defeated the Colorado Avalanche 4-1 in Denver. Colton Sissons threw on the cape and scored three goals in that game. Nick Bonino assisted on three, and Pekka was 24 of 25. On the 27th of November, Colorado comes to Nashville and wins 3-2. McKinnon takes over that game. He had two goals. Fiala, Hartman had a goal each. Pekka 22 out of 25. And the most recent game between these two teams was on the 21st of January. Peter Laviolette got his 600th win as the Nashville Predators defeated Colorado 4-1 in Denver. Arvidsson, Bonino, Yossi, Ellis each with a goal. Pekka 35 out of 36. So Pekka has started all three games against the Colorado Avalanche this season, and the Nashville Predators are 2-1. Critical 2 points on the line tonight as the Colorado Avalanche are starting to right the ship. It's the fourth and final regular season meeting between these two Central Division rivals. Of course, last year these two teams met in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs, and the Nashville Predators, though it was more difficult than most people expected, did put the Colorado Avalanche out in six games. A young team that is top heavy, and we all know how it goes for these guys. Power play, they are ninth in the NHL. Penalty kill, 28th. Goals for, ninth, of course. High-powered offense, 3.3 goals per game. Goals against, they are 23rd, 3.2 per game. Colin Wilson is currently on IR, and when you look at the statistics for the Colorado Avalanche, it's very easy to get lost in the numbers. This top line is just simply mind-blowing. 61 games played for Rantanen, 25 goals, 53 assists, that's 78 points. McKinnon is at 30 goals, 47 assists, that's of course 77 points. And then Landeskog also on that line, 32 goals, 31 assists, 63 points. We all understand how it goes against the Colorado Avalanche. Shut down the first line, and typically you will find success, because as you go down the rest of the roster, yes, Soderberg has 21 goals on the season, and you got to watch out. Kerfoot seems to have really good games against the Nashville Predators, but overall, this offense is driven by three players, all of them over 60 points, and then one player at 41, and then everyone else 39 and below on this roster. So the Predators know the key to success to shutting down the Colorado Avalanche. In net, Varlamov, 41 games played on the season, 17, 15, and 8, a 2.79 goals against average, a 9.11 save percentage, and two shutouts. Philip Grabauer on the team as well, 23 games played, 9.73, 3.42, and an 8.90 save percentage for the Nashville Predators. Of course, led statistically still by Ryan Johansson. However, that gap has closed very quickly here in recent weeks. Johansson's played in 61 games in the season, 11 goals, 42 assists. That is good for 53 points. Roman Josi, who has just been on an absolute hot streak as of late, 63 games played. He's skated in every one of them all season. And as you look down the list, there are very few players that have skated in every game this season. 14 goals, 37 assists, 51 points now. And with 51 points on the season, he becomes the Nashville Predators' first ever defenseman to reach 50 points in four seasons. When I saw the graphic and did the research, I was really surprised to see that Kimmo Timonen, even perhaps Marek Zidlicky, did not approach more seasons of 50 points. So it really puts into perspective, also Suter, also Weber, really puts into perspective what Roman Josi has accomplished on the offensive side of things now. Four plus seasons of over 50 points. Mattias Ekholm, still third on the team in scoring. He has 41 points on the season. Then Forsberg, 21 goals. Arvidsson, 26 goals. Craig Smith at 16. But on IR, so the Preds will be missing his offense. Bonino at 14, he's been on that number for a little while. Colton Sissons could use a goal. Cali Yarncroak on 10. Ryan Hartman also on 10. In net, Pekka-Rinne, 43 games played, 22-15-3, a 2.44 goals against average, a 9.17 save percentage, and he has three shutouts on the season. UC Saros, 14-7-2, a 2.70 goals against average, and a 9.12 save percentage. With the trade deadline rapidly approaching, you know there's going to be all kinds of stories, all kinds of rumors, and lots going around out there. So Mastrodamus, he's coming up here in the second period, and we'll recap the Matt Duchene trade between the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Ottawa Senators. We'll also talk about the rumors currently going on involving the Nashville Predators, and considering the schedule and how it shapes up this week, it's actually really good for the show because we're on Saturday morning, so we can discuss the things that have already happened and the rumors. Then we're on Monday morning, and then we'll follow that up with a show on Tuesday. So we will wrap all the way around the trade deadline. We'll have all that information here for you on Predneck Nation Radio. Of course, Matt Duchene traded, was in the lineup last night with Columbus. That game was on television. I sat and I watched it, thought what could have been, and then I moved on because for me, Duchene has never been the most important piece. Would he have been a tremendous goal scorer here in Nashville, and has David Poile been chasing after him for a long time? Most certainly. Could he still sign here as a free agent in the offseason? Most certainly. But for right now, the Matt Duchene situation, that angle comes to a close. He will go to Columbus and try to help them get from the bubble into the playoffs. Let's go back and look at this last game for the Nashville Predators. After a two-game road trip, the Nashville Predators get a chance to come home, and the first of three potential tune-ups before getting back into intensive top of the Central Division competition. The Nashville Predators welcomed in the LA Kings. Second meeting between these two teams on the season. They'll play one more time next month. Lines jumbled. Forsberg, Johansson, Fiala. A lot of theories as to why Fiala gets the spot on the top line. I feel because it was a showcase moment. The Nashville Predators were putting him up there on the first line with the best players, hoping that other GMs would take a look and say, yes, Yarncroke, Turris, Arvidsson is your second line. Boyle, Bonino, and Hartman. McLeod, Sissons, and Grimaldi make up your fourth line. Yoski and Ellis, Ekholm, Subban, Ham, Houston, Irwin. Pekka Rinne is in net. 1:18 into the first period, Sean Walker is stopped by Rinne, and that's the first touch of the game for Pekka Rinne. Looking good. No rebound given up. 1:59. Pekka Rinne makes a save on Phaneuf in close. 4:54. P.K. Subban gets a shot from the point, stopped by Jonathan Quick. The rebound eludes the traffic of Boyle and Turris in front. This is the Nashville Predators' first shot on goal in the game. At 7:44, Victor Arvidsson's shot is stopped by Quick. The big rebound leads to a penalty on the L.A. Kings, and that penalty would be on Drew Doughty, 2 minutes for holding the stick. On the power play for the Nashville Predators, we've got movement, we've got momentum. I feel like I should be hitting a lot more alarms than I am. Kyle Turris didn't even involve his seventh of the season. And talk about a dude that needed to put the biscuit in the basket. Kyle Turris puts the Preds up 1-0. It's a power play goal, and it goes like this. Yossi to Forsberg. Forsberg across the slot to Turris. Turris with the one-timer that beats Jonathan Quick. And the Nashville Predators have a 1-0 lead in the first period on a power play goal. Excellent movement of the puck right there. 9:45 into the first period. Quick makes a save on Boyle's backhand at 9:59. Pekka Rinne turns the puck over behind the net. He went to play it along the wall and he soft clears it. Then he loses the stick. His world-class athleticism gets him back into the net just in time to stop the shot by Lewis. And this ends up being a highlight reel save. But Pekka Rinne created the situation. He's done this a couple of times in recent games. And yes, the highlight reel saves are very impressive to see. But he's creating his own dramatics. 11:54, Forsberg, 2 minutes for high sticking. Two shots on goal for LA. The penalty kill is overall good and disruptive. And Johansson ends up with a shorthanded scoring chance off of the rush. At 17:21, Boyle and Phaneuf, they're going to the box 5 minutes each for fighting. They were pushing and shoving just a little bit, and it broke out. And it was pretty clear that Dion Phaneuf didn't really want much to do with Brian Boyle, spent the entire time trying to tie him up. Therefore, the fight was relatively low event and kind of boring. They get 5 minutes each. Brian Boyle, though, quickly becoming a blue-collar hero there at Bridgestone Arena. 18:41, Kopitar redirected, stopped by Pekka Rinne in close. 19:59, Ellis gets a shot off. It is stopped by Quick. We go to the intermission. Preds got a 1-0 lead. Each team 10 shots on goal. Coming out of the intermission, just 46 seconds into the second, Roman Josi's got his 14th of the season, putting the Preds up 2 goals over LA. Arvidsson was working hard and exchanges the puck with Josi as all of the LA players were puck chasing. Nobody realized that Arvidsson made a slick little backhand drop pass, and it goes right to Josi, who takes it in. Wrist shot through traffic beats Jonathan Quick, and the Nashville Predators captain has just been red hot as of late. Preds up 2-0 on home ice at 3:09. We see Pekka Rinne make a big save on Brown at 6:01. Yossi's shot is stopped by Quick at 7:13. Walker gets a scoring chance. It is stopped by Pekka Rinne, trading some chances here in the second period. 9:57. Quick stops Turris backhand plus the rebound attempt, and at 10:58, Toffoli goes to the box. 2 minutes for slashing. This Nashville Predators power play, however, returns to form and does not look nearly as good as the first one did, as Ellis ends up with 1 shot on goal, then 1 missed shot, then 1 shank of a shot. 3 attempts within about 15 seconds, and none of it went very well. 15:02, Ekholm's going to the box. 2 minutes for cross-checking. This was a very weak call in the corner. It looked like the player just lost an edge, and Ekholm happened to be leaning on him at the time. This, I felt, was a weak call. Pekka Rinne has to come up with a huge save on Doughty at 18:17. Arvidsson and Forsberg, they're on a 2-on-1. Forsberg takes the shot, and Arvidsson makes the save. Hang on a sec. Yeah. I needed to read the notes again. That's maybe the worst 2-on-1 that I've ever seen, considering the high skill and the number of goals between these two players. Just ridiculous. So a 2-on-1 for the Nashville Predators. They should have easily scored, but because of the circumstances, Victor Arvidsson ends up knocking the shot out of the net. 19:33, Boyle's shot is stopped by Quick, and we hit the intermission. Nashville Predators out shooting LA in the second period, 13-7 now, holding a 2-0 lead on home ice. Just keep this going, and it shouldn't be a problem closing this thing out. 39 seconds into the third period, Pekarinen makes a save on Iafallo. 3:26, Fendenberg goes to the box. 2 minutes for holding. Toffoli gets a shorthanded chance after the Preds turn the puck over, and the Preds, for some reason, are just struggling to get out of their own defensive zone. 9:24, we see Amadio get his fourth goal of the season, and LA has cut the lead, now down 2-1 for Nashville. Dion Phaneuf gets the shot, Amadio puts in the rebound, and the play all started when Pekarinne and PK Subban turned the puck over along the wall on a clear. So another bad situation created by the Nashville Predators being soft on the puck in their own defensive zone. So we've got a one-goal game at Bridgestone Arena with half a period to go, and at 9:59, Turris is in the box. 2 minutes for hooking Pekarinen Eskimo with a huge save on Kovalchuk's one-timer at 12:19. A shot by Ellis is stopped by Quick. Bonino gets a rebound attempt, but he can't make it go. At 14:59, Johansson hits the post from the slot. We go to the empty net scenario with 1:20 remaining in the game. Nashville Predators unable to get any control at 19:10. Anze Kopitar has a great look at it, and he misses the net, and the Nashville Predators are able to survive the end of this game and close out the LA Kings on home ice 2-1. Shots on goal end up being 29 apiece. So for the Nashville Predators, only 6 shots on goal in the third period. They came in with a 2-goal lead. They gave up a couple of bad turnovers in the defensive zone, and LA continued working hard in this game and continued trying. And for being the worst team in the Western Conference, you got to give them credit for at least playing it out in the third period and trying to come back. And the Preds, unfortunately, the first two periods I thought very good, but that third period, some bad habits started to creep in, and the Nashville Predators played a little bit down to competition. I would have liked to have seen the Preds put a third goal on the board and go ahead and close the LA Kings out nice and clean on home ice the other night. A win is a win. 2 points are 2 points, and now 4 points from the LA Kings out of a possible 4 is excellent news for the Nashville Predators. That's what they need to do against teams that are near the bottom of the standings, especially when they are the bottom of the standings. So for the Nashville Predators, what this win did for a day, put the Predators back in first place over the Winnipeg Jets. This is not that big of a deal because the Winnipeg Jets have played less games than the Nashville Predators. Matter of fact, the Predators have played the most games in the Central Division, but it is a psychological positive for the Nashville Predators to get a chance to go home from the rink in first place. That's what they're fighting for. That's what they're working so hard for, and there's no reason why they can't feel good for a couple of hours, knowing there's still a big hill to climb. And Winnipeg, of course, reclaimed first place just 24 hours later, and we will probably now see these two teams go back and forth several more times before the end of the season. That's why the game next Friday night in Winnipeg is absolutely so critical to the Nashville Predators season, and this tune-up week is also so critical. We saw different line combinations. We saw Fiala featured, and the Nashville Predators still, while they didn't put in a full 60, were able to come out with a win on home ice against the LA Kings. That's exactly what they need to do today against the Colorado Avalanche, and that's exactly what they need to do Monday versus the Edmonton Oilers before heading out on the road for a bunch of very, very important Central Division hockey games. I am your host, Captain Crazy Charlie Sonia. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio. Remember, you can always find us, predneckNation.com. That's where you get info about the show. You can always give us a like on Facebook and give us a follow on Twitter. We post the links to the show and some other information from time to time on there. In an on-demand world, you can always catch this show in podcast form on SoundCloud and iTunes. Just search Nashville Sports Radio or Predneck Nation Radio. And, of course, live at 5 on game days with encore presentations at 6 in the afternoon, when the schedule allows, and we'll see a lot more of those opportunities here coming up in the next couple of weeks. Going into playoff time, it is the most fantastic time of year to cover the NHL and to cover the Nashville Predators. Very much looking forward to what happens in the next couple of days with the trading deadline, and also very excited to see where the Central Division shakes out and what matchups we're going to start to see in the next couple of weeks heading into the NHL playoffs. Almost through with another hockey season here on Predneck Nation Radio. Can't believe how long we've been in the trench and how hard we've been grinding. The light is at the end of the tunnel, and the Nashville Predators have every opportunity to continue this positive momentum that they're picking up these last couple of games, get going this last month like they did the first month, and then be peaking at exactly the right time going into the NHL playoffs. Mastrodamus is coming up next in the second period. Each and every one of you Renegades of Puck, thanks for getting up and listening to us on a rainy Saturday morning in Smashville. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sane. We'll be right back on Nashville Sports Radio with Predneck Nation Radio.
This is Craig Smith of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. Keep listening to Predneck Nation Radio, Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Yes, please continue to do that as Craig Smith has given you the instructions. Smith now on IR, but 61 games played on the season, 16 goals. Streaky scorer, as we know, as of late, has not been on one of those particular hot streaks. Only 29 points on the season. Looking forward to Craig Smith being back in the lineup. And you've got to wonder, because of trade deadline coming up, because of an injury situation, has that potentially thrown any type of roadblock or stumble into any deals that were perhaps already being discussed and already on the table? Well, here to talk to me, and of course, I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonny. This is Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio. Here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators hockey on Twitter. You can find him at GreekGoalie35. He is a man so far ahead in the future. He's going to tell you everything that's going to happen today at Bridgestone Arena. He is Mastrodamus. How you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, always a pleasure to talk to you about Preds hockey, especially after your victory the other night. How are you?
I'm doing great, and let's go back and start talking about that one. The Nashville Predators taking on the worst team in the Western Conference, the LA Kings. Second time this season that LA was here in town. Mastrodamus, I thought that the Nashville Predators through the first two periods were taking care of business nice and orderly, but that third period was a little bit of a letdown. It was an opportunity for the Preds to come out, and I would have liked to have seen, much like the second period, get a goal in the first couple of minutes and then go ahead and just close this thing out nice and clean, get Rene that shutout on home ice. But the Preds made it a little bit more dramatic on their own doing there in the third period. But overall, a win is a win, and against lesser competition where the Preds have had difficulties this season, it was just good to see them collect those 2 points. Now 4 out of 4 versus LA this season.
Yeah, we've seen them many times this season play down to their competition and just throw away points and standings. And as we can tell right now, going back and forth with Winnipeg in first place, you got to get those points. And quite frankly, I thought they were incredibly casual. I mean, I get it through the first two periods. You've pretty much had control of the game, but you're only up 2 goals. I mean, all it takes is one bounce, and all of a sudden, you're fighting and clawing to try to get that victory. That's exactly what happened. Now, they get a little fortuitous bounce, and suddenly it's a one-goal game, and, oh, we're in a dogfight suddenly. So you got to turn that switch back on, as we've talked about as well. It's not so easy to do sometimes, but you held on to a victory, and at this time in the season, even against bad competition, you take the 2 points any way you can get them.
Points are points right now, and I know a lot of people are saying this being in first place thing means nothing because of the games played, because of all of this. Mastrodamus, the Nashville Predators have been working their asses off to get themselves back into this race, and for one night, the psychological positive of being in first place shows that the work that they are putting in is paying off, and I think that that's nothing but positive. Of course, it's going to ping pong back and forth as far as the standings, and it's already starting to do that, but the Nashville Predators should have felt good about themselves walking out of the rink the other night, seeing themselves back in first place for the first time in quite a while.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Winnipeg, of course, you know, having their struggles here of late, you lose 6 out of 8 games, and well, here's Nashville right on your tail. And let's not forget, with the games at hand that they have, St. Louis, even though they had a loss against Dallas, they're also right on the Preds' tail. So, I mean, they're not that far behind. If St. Louis can continue to play this, you know, not going to win 12 games in a row all the time, but if they can win 8 out of 10 games, you know, you have 20 games left in the season, suddenly you're talking about them challenging for that division lead as well. So they're not that far behind everybody. So it's going to be a dogfight all the way down to the end. And you got about, you know, 19, 20 games of the season, depending on what team you are. But it's, you know, it's not one of those things where, you know, you're Tampa Bay and you're 20 points ahead of the competition and you can kind of cruise down the stretch and do what you want. But people are going to have to start fighting for it. And, of course, Winnipeg and Nashville have a couple games left against each other as well.
couple of individuals from the other night. Let's talk about Pekka Rinne, 28-29. He gives up one goal. Mastrodamas, some bad habits, and you mentioned it the other day, from earlier in his career, creeping in, getting a little bit out of position, over-pursuing, having to rely on that world-class athleticism to make up for those basic mistakes, but also now having some difficulties playing the puck with the stick. Turned the puck over against L.A. a couple times the other night. Now, couple of opportunities to get things right. And of course, all goaltenders go through these types of moments in the season where they get just a little bit out of alignment. So for the Nashville Predators, they need to get Pekka Rinne right over these next couple of games before this big time road trip coming up within the Central Division.
Rinne, again, was victim to kind of a little bit over pursuing the puck when guys skate on in on a bad angle. He gets himself a little bit too far out of his crease, but was able to survive that. And, of course, he just healed that one opportunity in the first period there. He just tried to play it, was right on his heel, ends up shaking the pass, and then all of a sudden having to scramble to make that diving stop. We saw Carter Hutton do that once upon a time about 5 years ago in Philadelphia, just scrambling and diving out in front to make a save. But Pekka Rinne, again, causing a little bit of his own issues, but he's got the athleticism even at 36 years old. He's still out there doing his thing and showing that he can still play. But like to get rid of those habits here, particularly late in the regular season, make sure that 2013-2014 Pekka Rinne doesn't start creeping back in.
And good on the team to be helping him out right now, because the Preds of the last couple games, while Rinne has been struggling just a little bit, and it's not like he's performing so poorly or anything. If he was, the Preds would be losing these games. But the team has been doing a much better job in front of him, helping him out. And he'll work through this over the next couple of games, no doubt about it. A couple other performances from the game. Roman Josi, I mean, the guy is as hot as can be right now. Another goal and assist at three shots on net, three block shots, 23-42 in time on ice. And Mastrodamas, maybe the most critiqued player besides Nick Bonino on this show this season. He is performing at the all-star level and at the captain level right now for this Nashville Predators team, and he deserves the credit for what he's accomplishing. Plus, four seasons of 50-plus points now as a defenseman. First time anyone in Nashville Predators history has ever done that.
Yeah, remarkable job by him to show that kind of consistency. And let's not forget the contract that he's on right now. He wasn't exactly a shoe-in to be your, you know, top line, top defensive pair guy when the contract was signed. But David Poile saw what he saw in Roman Josi after the whole Ryan Suter thing. Say, all right, he's gonna be our next guy. You think early on, wow, that's really overpaying for a guy that you not totally proven yet. And sure enough, here he is making all-star appearances and, you know, breaking Nashville Predators records by defensemen. And look, sometimes I get the feeling that the players are listening to the show, maybe, because it seems like when we definitely critique guys a little bit tougher, all of a sudden they come out like gangbusters. I mean, 5 points in two games for anybody is phenomenal, but let alone for your defenseman. And Roman Josi, back-to-back games, back-to-back game-winning goals, doing captain things out there right now for sure.
Listen, we know Rocco Grimaldi has been tuning in just a little bit, which is a pretty cool little bit of information to learn. Thanks, Ultimate Predator, for passing that along. It was cool to see the photo of them two guys on the concourse the other night after the game. Just a little bit more from the other night. Kyle Turris, man, you talk about a dude that needed to put a puck in the net, and he did it exactly the way we expect him to do it. We know he's got a good shot. We know he can perform out there on the power play. There he was over in the circle, taking a perfect feed from Forsberg and putting the puck in the net, as we all had hoped and expected Turris would do. Mastrodamas, the first goal in quite some time, and hopefully the beginning of a lot more to come for Turris before the end of this year.
Yeah, back-to-back games with a point for Turris, and I mean, I'm not going to give him a ton of credit just yet, because right before that, about 2 seconds before that goal, he tries to cross ice pass to Forsberg, and it definitely was not there. Gets a little bit of a good, nice bounce off of Kopitar's stick, who had anticipated the pass. Goes off a stick, Forsberg just skates into it, and in the process of doing so, suddenly a gaping hole, cross-ice pass right over to Turris, and easy goal for him to one-time that one in. But Kyle Turris, though, you definitely want somebody like him to pick things up. If you're a number two center and you got 7 goals all year, yes, he's been injured, I get it. So it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but you're making $6 million a year. You got to contribute more than what you're doing right now. So hopefully a sign of things to come. Maybe you need a bounce like that and something to finally go your way to you start putting the puck in the net and getting some points. And let's not forget, when he first got traded here, him, Smith, and Fiala were absolutely on fire. They were outperforming the Jofa line. for about a month of the season there. So would like to see a little bit more of that out of Turris on a more consistent basis.
And Mastrodamus, he was a hero to the blue seats at MSG. He was beloved at The Rock in Newark. And, of course, Tampa always enjoyed having him out there, quickly becoming a fan favorite all the way from the last row in the building to the first row on the glass. Brian Boyle out there doing everything you would hope a player could do. And we haven't even tapped into what could be one of the most important things he brings along, which is so much and such significant playoff experience. But Boyle, the other night, took on one of the Nashville Predators' favorite enemies, Dion Phaneuf, and I just love to see the way Boyle goes about it out there. Every aspect of the game, he gives you what he's got. Is he the highest skilled player? Absolutely not, but he's going to give you what he's got out there, and that's inspiring to the rest of the guys on the bench and in the room, and I just love to see it the other night. A nice, quick, boring scrap on home ice, but I love to see Boyle challenging Phaneuf and taking him on right there at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, mixing it up, doing a little bit of everything and getting those quick left jabs. I love when guys do that. When they're sitting there tied up, they're trying to get the big haymaker out. And he's like, oh, I got his collar right here on my left. What should I do? I don't know. Three quick jabs right to the jaw of Dion Phaneuf. That was great to watch. But you're absolutely right, though. I mean, Brian Boyle, I mean, what else can you say about the guy? You give up a second-round pick for him. So, yes, he's going to be a rental. He's not going to sign back here next season. But right now, he's bringing that tenacity and that fire that – we have, quite frankly, haven't seen in the lineup for quite some time. So, love what I'm seeing at him. I mean, three shots, three hits, two block shots. I mean, he's doing a little bit of everything. He's on the power play. He's on the penalty kill, blocking shots, doing everything you could possibly ask from a guy. And again, first class human being on top of that.
Played 15:36 the other night. Excellent addition to this team. I think that it's only going to get better. He's getting more comfortable with his teammates and in the lineup. And Ryan Boyle, just, you've said it, world-class individual and a great influence on the locker room and putting it out there on the ice in every aspect and every zone. I'm just enjoying watching every bit of it. All right, Mastrodamus, we all know what's coming up Monday. It's the trade deadline. And wow, what a time. We talked about Matt Duchene a whole bunch. I never felt that he was the number one target by any means for the Nashville Predators, but I felt if there was a combo deal to be made with the Ottawa Senators with Duchene and Stone, that most certainly I would have taken that in an instant, and there's no reason to believe that the Preds won't at least be in the conversation with Duchene when it comes to free agency this summer. But for now, he's out. He's now on the Columbus Blue Jackets, and he's going to attempt to help the Blue Jackets get off the bubble and into the playoffs. We know there'll be significant change still coming out of Columbus, maybe even later today. So for the Nashville Predators, Duchene is now out of the conversation. However, I think that there is still quite a bit of conversation going on with Ottawa for Stone, and now possibly with the New York Rangers for Kevin Hayes. Both of them, big body wingers. Stone, I think, more upside, more skill. But Kevin Hayes also has been a pretty good performer for the New York Rangers over the last couple of years, and he can put the puck in the net, and he likes to go to the front of the net. Good hands right there. So talk to me about what you are looking at with the Nashville Predators, the rumors that are currently out there, and your expectations as we head into Monday morning when we talk again.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily think the Preds were going to go after Matt Duchene and get him at the trade deadline, but shocking development. Columbus, who at the time was still in the bubble, really trying to fight and scratch and claw to their playoff spot, to go after it. And that's a power move right there. I was like, okay, so that means you're telling me you're keeping Panarin, you're keeping Bobrovsky, and you're getting Duchene to make this run. Because it doesn't look like to me anyway that Duchene is re-signing with Columbus as part of this deal. So that was a bit of a shock, but absolutely. All right, Stone, I think, is the guy that the Preds need to focus on. Kevin Hayes would be a second-place prize, so to speak, to get him in there. He's not quite as good as Stone, of course, but he's a guy that I would love to see in Nashville. Maybe looking at, Kyle Turris here, former teammate, of course, maybe convince him to stay here long-term as well in the offseason. We'll have to wait and see, but that would be a pricey investment for the Nashville Predators to get Stone here long-term. I personally think it'll be Duchene signing long-term next season. That's why I wasn't on board with trading any assets to get Duchene. Like, you have a pretty good inkling that he loves Nashville and he wants to come to Nashville. It's like, why give up assets for him? So I get it. You want to get it for the playoff stretch, but he's probably going to sign here next season anyway, so don't give up assets. Give up assets to get Stone, and suddenly maybe you have Stone and Turris on the same line, and that might jumpstart Turris the rest of the season. So that's where my head is on that. Doesn't look like Panarin's going to go anywhere right now, and he would be absolutely a strictly rental. But the price tag for him would be incredibly high, and the Preds, I don't think, are going to go that route.
The will-they-won't day between Duchesne and Poile over the last couple of years has definitely been interesting. It's been a nonstop flirtation between these two clubs, and I think that you are right. They are definitely going to be in significant conversations when it comes to free agency. The Nashville Predators, in the meantime, have an opportunity to add a top-six winger because there are a couple of targets available and within the price range of the Nashville Predators. So, of course, we'll be talking a lot more about that Monday morning, and then, because of the schedule, we'll be back on wrapping up trade deadline on Tuesday morning. Mastrodamus, before I let you get out of here, of course, Colorado in town today, taking on the Nashville Predators. Fourth time this season, the Preds currently 2-1 against Colorado this season. And how have they gotten it done? We know the exact formula because here it is. When the Nashville Predators won 4-1 on November the 7th, the first line for the Colorado Avalanche were held to 0 goals, 1 assist, and they were a -6 in the game. In the second meeting, the first line had 2 goals, 2 assists, was a +3 with 9 shots on goal, and of course, Colorado won that game. In the third meeting, first line held to 0-0, a -6, 9 shots on net. Preds win that game by 3. So the formula is pretty obvious. It's pretty clear. Shut down the first line for the Colorado Avalanche, and you will win a game going away at the end.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and particularly with the amount of minutes these guys play, and they just played last night. Granted, they didn't play, as we've seen this season, they didn't play 24 minutes for a forward line. I mean, that's insane. Those are top-line defensive pairing minutes right there. But they do play a lot of ice time out there for them. They were in Chicago, second of back-to-backs. You're going to have Grubauer in net for Colorado. So, again, Colorado, even though largely they were kept off the scoreboard last night against Chicago. Chicago, of course, Soderberg and Comfort get 4 of their 5 goals. Well, the top line still ended up with 3 points on the night somehow. So it tells you that it doesn't matter who's out there with them. They're going to end up getting some goals. So as long as they can shut them down, you make everybody else on this roster try to beat you. It's as simple as that. You shut them down, and teams have figured it out. If it took them that long to figure it out, I don't know. But Colorado, of course, playing very well, though, here as of late after just an abysmal stretch of hockey about a month or so where they were just absolutely terrible, and they just found themselves really out of the playoff hunt. Now back into it, winning 3 in a row, 4 out of 5. So the Preds, second to back-to-backs, need to take advantage of that. Fully expect to see Rene in there again against Grubauer. Grubauer, very limited history with the Predators, only a couple of games against them, but hasn't played well. 8 goals allowed in those 3 games. So I would like to see the Preds jump on them early and make Colorado chase the game and see how much energy they still have left after last night.
And the Colorado Avalanche, with that offense and that heavy first line, 201 goals on the season, 4 being next to last place in the Central. They have a goal differential in the positive of +5, always dangerous, and they have a winning record on the road. So you've got to treat this team with a lot of respect. After all, they were competing for the tops of the division last year for a time, and earlier this season with a win today, the Colorado Avalanche would jump over Minnesota and Dallas, putting themselves in fourth place in the Central, and of course keeping themselves very much alive in the wild card playoff race. At this point in time, it's kind of looking like your 3 teams might be set, but Dallas, Minnesota, we'll see what they have to say coming up here at the trade deadline, and we'll know what their path is after that. Mastrodamus, I appreciate you jumping on with us this morning. Of course, Monday, Tuesday, back-to-backs. We got Edmonton and then St. Louis, so we'll be wrapping up this home stand, and then we'll be talking about the trade deadline. So a lot of big information, big news coming out the next couple of days. And as we always remind people, check your time stamps and dates on those tweets. Make sure that the spellings are correct, and blue check marks, while they're not always perfect, they do help quite a bit when it comes to sifting through the information and all of the noise out there. So be cautious before you hit that retweet button, or else you're going to throw a big old hook out there in the middle of the pond for all of your Predators friends and fans to bite on, and then suddenly we will all be excited about something from 5 years ago. Mastrodamus, does that cover it as far as the public service announcement and telling people what to expect the next couple days?
Pretty much. Check marks and those timestamps. That's the biggest thing right now. And again, everybody enjoy this game today. Enjoy watching your phones on Twitter all day Monday while you're at work, because I'm sure I'll be doing the same thing, looking for the latest and greatest updates. So keep an eye out there.
And Mostradamus, I'll just say this. Just sitting here talking about Matt Duchene, talking about Stone, talking about Hayes, talking about these types names, these types players, man, it sure has come a long way since I was sitting here and being like, damn, the Preds picked up Oleg Petrov? They're all in right now. This is going to be the year. I think we all remember that Oleg Petrov did not end up being quite the significance of a Jan Halavich at trade deadline, and he did not help the Nashville Predators get to their first ever playoff berth in that season. Man, he cost the Preds some money. They had to do refunds off of that Oleg Petrov trade. So it is so great to be talking about such high-profile players, talking about a first-place race in the NHL, talking about a definite playoff team here in the Nashville Predators. It has come a long way. And while we may be the chippiest group of all, and we may be the quickest to critique, man, you have to stop, pause, and think about it for just a second. The Preds are in on significant talent in the NHL. They already have impressive high-skill talent on the roster. And with Pekka-Rinne having a little bit of time left in his window and David Poile having a little bit of time left in his career as a GM, no doubt the Nashville Predators are going to make that push and make that run here in the next 2 years to get this thing done. Mostradamus, I look forward to spending all that time talking Nashville Predators hockey with you. It's already been a blast the last couple of seasons, but I think the Preds have a couple of really big seasons coming up here in the next couple of years, and hopefully this next month is going to be the beginnings of that. Mostradamus, I'll talk to you Monday morning. Get off the phone already.
Charlie, sounds good. Everybody stay safe out there.
On Twitter, at GreekGoalie35. He's the former head writer of PredNeckNation.com. Since we don't write articles or blogs anymore, we've evolved, we've moved on, and that's what all radio shows, all platforms, all these types of things should be doing. Never stay exactly the same. Continue working on your craft at all times. Continue growing, continue evolving, continue adding new elements and trying new things. We've certainly done that here at PredNeck Nation Radio. We've had a wide cast of characters over the years. Some have hit, some have missed, some have been on for a show, and some have never been heard from again. There's reasons for all these things. Some people find out it's not exactly what they want to do or it's not what they like. We've always given people opportunities right here, and we've always been willing to try new things. And if we weren't willing to try new things, we never would have found Mostradamus, who's ended up being the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation for quite some time. You will always hear him right here in the second period of Predneck Nation Radio, his feature spot. I am your host and your captain, Crazy Charlie Sarnia. We're going to wrap it up with a quick segment in the third period and get on out of here, because Preds Avalanche, it's an afternoon tilt at Bridgestone Arena with a lot of rain and bad weather in the area. So we'll be back. We'll get you set up. Talk a little Central Division for a minute before we head on out the door right here. Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Welcome back in, Predneck Nation Radio. Pete Weber bringing us back from break. Of course, the voice of the Nashville Predators and the guy who was kind enough to stop and give a scumbag like me a tip that helped give me my first break here in Nashville Radio when he introduced me to Jonathan Schaefer, who would later on become one of the Renegades of Puck here on this fantastic radio show. What an odd radio tale I have to tell one day when that book finally gets written, and it will. And there will be a lot of praise and tribute to one Mr. Pete Weber for going out on that limb and creating one of the biggest thorns in everybody's side that this radio market has ever seen. I'm sure lots of people give him thanks for that over the time. Nashville Predators today welcome in the Colorado Avalanche. The Preds are currently sitting in second place. Let's run down your Central Division. Winnipeg has taken back over first place, and you can expect that these two teams will trade first place back and forth quite a bit. The Winnipeg Jets have played two fewer games than the Nashville Predators, so 78 points for Winnipeg, 77 for the Nashville Predators. St. Louis has made that run after that impressive winning streak, now sit in third place at 69 points. Dallas at 65 points. Minnesota, there's a big question mark around them. Injuries, potentially unloading some talent. So at 64 points, they are on the cusp right there, and they can go in either direction very quickly. The Colorado Avalanche, the opponent for today, 63 points, but a win today bumps them up two spots in the Central and keeps them very much alive in the playoff race for the wild card. Chicago, still sitting in last place in the Central Division. They have 61 points on the season, and it is always a good day when you wake up and Chicago is in last place. So that wraps up your Central Division. It's a relatively light night for a Saturday. Boston is in St. Louis, and Dallas will host Carolina. That's it for your Central Division on the ice today. And of course, Nashville will welcome in Colorado. So with the Preds and the Winnipeg Jets playing on opposing days for the last couple of rotations, it has been kind of fun to watch as these two teams bounce back and forth. We've got a lot of hockey to talk about coming up in the next week. We'll be back on the air Monday morning at 5 a.m. It's a game day in Smashville. We'll be talking Edmonton Oilers, of course, recapping everything that happens today with the Colorado Avalanche, and then back on Tuesday morning as the Preds will be off for the first of three divisional games in St. Louis Tuesday. Couple days off before Friday's huge matchup in Winnipeg, and then on March the 3rd, the Preds will be at Minnesota, the first of a home-and-home with the Wild. And when the Preds do head off to Winnipeg, just think of this. The Winnipeg Jets on home ice this season are 21-7-4. That's why home ice could become so critical when it comes to the Western Conference playoffs. The Winnipeg Jets have an intense home advantage at their rink. It is loud. They are into what they're doing up there, and playing at home in the playoffs for the entirety of the Western Conference would be a significant benefit to the Winnipeg Jets. So for the Nashville Predators, it's coming down to it. Trade deadline Monday. We should know an awful lot more about what's going on by the time we get on the air on Monday morning, and then we'll recap whatever we didn't figure out when we get on the air on Tuesday morning. Thank you so much for listening to Predneck Nation Radio. Well, you know me, I'm your host and your captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. Mostradamus was in the second period. All the other Renegades of Puck, healthy scratches today. Let's call it maintenance days. A rainy day, a lot of things going on around. A lot of people got a lot of things to be worried about other than appearing on this here radio show. So hope everyone is safe out there. Getting reports of an awful lot of flooding throughout Middle Tennessee. So please, wherever you are, be extremely careful. Don't mess around with this stuff. We've all been through this before. No situation when it comes to weather is exactly the same as any other situation that you've been through. So just make sure you're paying attention to those local experts that will help give you the proper instruction, and do not ever attempt to drive through a flooded roadway. I appreciate and need each and every one of you to be safe out there. I love all you Renegades of Puck. So take care of yourselves and take care of each other, and make sure you watch out for your friends, your neighbors, and each and every one out there in Predneck Nation. It's up to us to watch the backs of each and every one out there. Being a Renegade of Puck is more than being a hockey fan. It's also being a solid citizen and a good human being. So jump on in that trench with me and all the Renegades of Puck, and remember, it's easy to check off those boxes. You got the passion, you got the fire, you got the fury, you got strong opinions, you love the glorious game of hockey. Well, you are in fact a Renegade of Puck. I certify that right here on this Saturday morning on a game day in Smashville when the Nashville Predators will have an opportunity to reclaim first place in the Central Division. Say it's meaningless. Go ahead. Say it's meaningless. Being in first place is never meaningless. Man, you people have become bitter. Teams working their asses off to get themselves into first place and try to win a division. And you're pooping all over being in first place. What the hell's wrong with you guys? Always a good day when you wake up in first place and the Blackhawks are in last place. This hockey trench war will continue. Monday morning, Renegades in the trench. I give you the rest of Saturday to enjoy game day in Smashville. Be safe, everybody.